Good morning to all of you. Our meditation for this morning, a week away from our Palm Sunday services, will be based upon our gospel reading for this morning, the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But I would like to take a look at his sister's inquiry of our Lord when he showed up, basically asking, "Where were you when we needed you?" Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I would invite you to read this gospel, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45, on your own. It's been said, and I'm pretty sure it's true, that no person has ever repented of being a Christian on his or her deathbed. But that's not to say the journey to that point in a person's life is necessarily going to be easy, even for the Christian. Indeed, a close companion of death is often physical and perhaps even spiritual pain. And the anguish death causes has a nasty way of spreading to those around the dying, usually manifesting itself in a sickening feeling in the pit of one's stomach and expressed in a contorted face and tears. Death is hard. It's hard on the dying. It's hard on those being left behind. There is no denying it. And there really is no way to lessen its sting. Death hurts. It's often difficult to know what to say in such moments. People's emotions can be rather raw following the death of someone. On more than one occasion, I have merely offered a hug. What else could I do for someone who is grieving but to show a little empathy? Words can so often seem hollow at such times. I'm certain that Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus from our text for this morning, were pretty much experiencing all of those sorts of feelings that we've all gone through at one point or another. But I have a strong sense that these sisters were also feeling a little upset over the fact that their, quote, pastor never even showed up. He wasn't there while their brother was dying, and Jesus wasn't there for the funeral. No wonder their first question for him was, "Where were you?" While listening to our text as it was being read, did you detect a little frustration from these two women? Did you sense a little bewilderment on the part of the disciples while Jesus purposely avoided going to his sick friend's aid? Did the episode, as it unfolded, seem a little odd to you? That the man who could cure the blind, heal the leper, make the crippled walk, didn't seem all that concerned that a close personal friend might be dying? But before I continue, I would like us to take just a moment to step away from Bethany and to go visit Ezekiel as he stood staring at a valley filled with dry bones. The bones were everywhere, mixed together, bleached white. You couldn't tell who was who or distinguish the rich from the poor. For in death, everyone is the same. Dead. And the truth was these folks were dead, really dead. No self-respecting vulture would have given this valley a second look. And yet the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, "Preach, preach to these dead bones, these people, and proclaim to them my word." And Ezekiel did as he was commanded, and the bones came together, and muscles and skin reformed on the bones. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, as it did to Adam at the beginning of, and life returned to this vast array of people, and they stood up on their feet. These people who had previously said, "Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone, for we are cut off from the favor of the Lord." Previously said, "Our hope is gone." Previously, because they now live, brought to life by God's word. And that word is this: "O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, your home country, heaven. For the word of God, the gospel, brings life, eternal life, to where there is death." My friends, Do you not realize that our Old Testament text this morning is a vision about you? That you're the bones lying about that valley? That you were dead, really dead, spiritually dead in your trespasses? That you had no hope because your sins had cut you off from the living God? But the word of the Lord came to you and continues to do so even this morning. For God has called men throughout the ages, saying, preach. Preach to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that word is this, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I must admit I am the worst. Yet he came and died for me and for you to atone for our sins, those sins that lead to death in the grave. But the Lord says, I will open your grave and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit, the spirit of faith and Christ upon you, and you will live. Returning to the small town of Bethany, we find that friends, neighbors, and the relatives of Lazarus have gathered to mourn his death and to comfort his sisters. Death, after all, is a hard thing, and in such times we find comfort in the embrace of others. But we find our assurances in God's word and God's promises that he is going to open our graves and bring us up from them. Where were you? The sisters asked. Your words could have kept Lazarus from dying. Your words could have prevented our suffering, our mourning. Jesus didn't admonish the sisters for their questioning his motives. No, St. John merely records that Jesus wept right along with them. For death is a hard thing to endure. For death was never meant to be. It was never a part of God's plan for us. Yet, death is something that we have chosen of our own free will. For the wages of death is sin, St. Paul reminds us, and we have all and continue to sin. And so despite all of our advances in medicine, you will note that the mortality rate is still 100%. That there is a time and a date on some calendar where you will die. The question is, will you hear our Lord's call? In response to Mary and Martha's question, where were you? Jesus asked his own question, where have you laid him? And followed it up with the most shocking command of all, take away the stone. Take away the stone, for I must preach to the dead bones that lay behind it. For I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asks you this morning. If you do, then you shall see the glory of God. And you will rise from the dead as surely as Lazarus did, as surely as our Lord did on Easter morning. Jesus delayed in going to his friend's aid, because there was a greater purpose in his delaying. Because through Lazarus' death, the faith of the man's sisters and those who had gathered would grow and come to know that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior. In fact, we are told that because of what took place, a large number of Jews became persuaded of Jesus' messiahship. And Lazarus himself became a literal piece of evidence regarding the truth of Christ. And the truth is, Jesus showed his love for these people by staying away, by delaying his arrival. We should be aware of this truth when sickness occurs, when a member of our family dies, when a hoped-for promotion fails to materialize, when work and worry seem beyond our capacity to bear, when we're led to ask, Lord, where are you? Just know that you might be in the same company of Lazarus and his sisters, and that the reality of Jesus' love for you will emerge from the clouds of despair. Just remember, the strongest trees do not grow sheltered by a mountain, but rather the stoutest of timber is found on the slopes of Norwegian mountains, where the winds and snow raged long and hard throughout the winter. In the words of wise old Simeon, who was ready to board his ship, which was ready to sail from this world, "Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled, and my own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel, the faithful of Christ Jesus. Amen." And now our Lord's blessings to each and every one of you in the coming week. And I look forward to bringing to you God's message on Palm Sunday next week.